Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 12, Srimad Bhagavatam summarized. Today, texts 28 and 29. We'll chant 28 responsively, even though they're together. The word meanings for 28: Tasya, his, Karmani, activities, Aparani, innumerable. Kirtitani are glorified. Asura Dushaha, of the enemy of the demons. Putana, of the witch Putana. Asu, along with her life heir. Payaha, of the milk. Panam, the drinking. Shakata, of the cart. Uchchatanam, the breaking. Shishaho, by the child. Tasya karmanya parani. Kirtitanya sura dusha. Putanasu payapanam. Shakatochatanam shisho. Tasya karmanya parani. Kirtitanya sura dusha. Putanasu payapanam. Shakatochatanam shisho. Tasya karmanya parani. Kirtitanya sura dusha. Putanasu payapanam. Shakatochatanam shisho. Tasya karma aparani. Kirtitanya sura dusha. Putanasu payapanam. Shakatochatanam shisho. Tasya karmanya parani. Kirtitanya sura dusha. Putanasu payapanam. Shakatochatanam shisho. Tasya karmanya parani. Kirtitanya sura dusha. Putanasu payapanam. Shakatochatanam shisho. In the second verse, we can read together. Trenavartasya nishpeshas tataiva bhakavatsayo adhasura vadodhatra vatsapala vaguhanam. Translation: also glorified are the innumerable pastimes of Sri Krishna, the enemy of the demons. including his childhood pastimes of sucking out Putana's life air along with her breast milk, breaking the cart, trampling down Trinavarta, killing Bakasura, Buttasura, and Aghasura, and the pastimes he enacted when Lord Brahma hid his calves and cowherd boys in a cave. There's no purport. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshudam Militam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This summary of the Bhagavatam has been going pretty much from beginning to end of the Bhagavatam, going through canto by canto. So we're now, Sutta Goswami is summarizing the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're hearing about Krishna's pastimes. There's some, Krishna's pastimes come up in other places, here and there in the Bhagavatam. For example, in the 3rd canto, when Uddhava meets Maitreya, or Maitreya meets Uddhava, so Uddhava does a kind of summary also. He goes through Krishna's pastimes. First he describes the Vrindavan pastimes, and then he describes the Dwarka pastime. There's a verse there that includes some of the, what's mentioned here. Actually, no, there's another place is in the second canto, scheduling incarnations with specific functions. That's the 7th chapter of the 2nd canto. So there, I guess it's Shukadeva Goswami who's speaking. He makes a list of all the avatars, says a little something about each one. And when he gets to Krishna, then there are several verses when he gets to Krishna. So one of those is this from the 2nd canto, 2.7.27. There is no doubt about Lord Krishna's being the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how was it possible for him to kill a giant demon like Putana when he was just on the lap of his mother? To overturn a cart with his leg when he was only 3 months old? To uproot a pair of Arjuna trees so high that they touched the sky when he was only crawling? All these activities are impossible for anyone other than the Lord himself. So all the different pastimes that we're hearing about today, they all took place when Krishna was very young. In the first part of Krishna's life, they were living in Gokul, also called Mahavan or Brihadvan. That's where Krishna was taken in the beginning. That's where Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and the other Vrajvasis were living at that time. So these pastimes took place there. The first one, Putana, in one place Prabhupada says she was just an infant. So here in the verse that I read from the 2nd canto, it says while he was still on the lap of his mother. So he was very, very young child at that time. The Putana pastime took place. Then the next one this actually is the order that's in the Bhagavatam also as the stories are told. Shakatasura is the next one. He was 3 months old then. Trinavarta was the next one. He was 1 year old. And then there was a few others that aren't mentioned here, but I'll just mention them. Because they happened around the same time period in Krishna's life. So 1 year, Trinavarta was 1 year old. So just around that time, Krishna showed universal form. There are two descriptions of Krishna showing the universal form in his mouth to Mother Yashoda. So one was right after the Trinavarta, killing of Trinavarta. But then just after that was Krishna's name-giving ceremony, given by Garga Muni in the Goshala of Nanda Maharaj, secretly. Then the pastime of Krishna eating dirt, and then showing the universal form again. And then after that comes the Damodar Leela. The Damodar Leela, Krishna was 2 years and 2 months old. Then after that, shortly after that is when they moved to Vrindavan. It seems to be that the specific place where they were living, now you may remember in that pastime, they just decide to leave, Upananda suggests it, and just on a moment's notice, they just pack up all their things onto carts and they leave. Gokul, because they want to protect the cows and they want to protect the children, because demons are coming there. And they also want to protect Mahavan, so they decide they'll go to a different place. So the area they go to is what is now called Chuttikar, which is just where the Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj meets the road that goes between Agra and Delhi, that area. They just put their carts in a semicircle, and they took brush and thorny bushes and so on and made like a protected area around it. And that's when they first got there, that's how they live. So then while they were there, first demon that Krishna killed was Vatsasura. So again, he was very young then. He was only a couple of years old. He was with the calves. And Bakasura also, he was very young. Then Aghasura and then Brahma. Those all took places in Vrindavan. And then after that, they moved to Nandagram when he was 6 or 7 years old, I read in some place. So first here today, we hear about the pastime of Putana. Now what happened was after Kamsa tried to kill Yogamaya, we see there what a demon he was. What a big demon. Brand new, newborn child. And he picks her up by the legs and he's going to smash her against a rock. Just imagine what kind of heartless demon you are to do something like that. So of course she flies out of his hands and then talks to him. She says, the person who's going to kill you has already been born somewhere else. Then after that, then she leaves, and then Kamsa becomes remorseful, actually. He apologizes to Vasudeva and Devaki. But then he goes to his ministers, and they say, no, this is bad. The person who's going to kill you is born somewhere else. So we should just kill all the children who have born recently. That's their plan. That's their great intelligence. We'll just kill all the kids who have been born recently. So we hear in Krishna's pastimes, when demons are coming, especially in the beginning, it's not always clear whether they're coming specifically because they know who Krishna is and they want to kill him, or they're just out killing children and they happen to go to Vrindavan and Krishna is one of the kids they're trying to kill. So the first one to come is Putana. Now Putana is a Kechari witch. Ke means the sky or the ether, and Chari means to move. So she's able to fly in the sky. Prabhupada says in this, in reference to this, that there are some witches who can fly on the branch of an uprooted tree. Of course, we have the typical idea of a witch flying on a broomstick. So a similar kind of idea. You can fly through the sky. So she was flying around, and she saw Vrindavan, and she saw the child somehow, and she decided to go there. She was expert at killing children. I don't know what. How much practice you need to do that. But it says she was expert in killing children. So she went there, and of course, because she's a witch, she was able to transform herself. And she made herself extremely beautiful. So she just walked into Gokul, even though they probably had guards for their town, but she just walked around. Everyone was just mesmerized by her beauty. They said that they thought that maybe she was the goddess of fortune coming to see her husband, Narayana. Now, I always wondered what this meant. Is this referring to Krishna? But then I read in one of the Acharya's commentaries that Nanda Maharaj worshipped Lakshmi Narayana. That was their household deities. So the Acharya, it was Vishwanatha Jiva Goswami, said, no, they thought that she was coming to see Narayana, the deity Narayana. They thought maybe this is Lakshmi coming to see Nanda Maharaj is Narayan deity. So, actually it says everyone was enchanted by her beauty, especially the men. So they just let her come right in, walk right into the house, pick up the child to suckle the child. So she offered him her breast. But Krishna knew what was going on. Of course, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the example of this Putana story is often shown. And Prabhupada would mention it often, how you don't have to practice to become God, you don't have to lift weights to become powerful. Even he's still in the lap of his mother, he's so small, still in the crib, but still he can kill a powerful demon like Putana, demoness like Putana. So he took her nipple in his mouth and he, actually first of all, he closed his eyes. You remember there's some discussion of this. What is the significance of this? Krishna, he saw her coming, but then he closed her eyes before he killed her. So Prabhupada mentions some things in the Krishna book. But this is the list from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is what he says. He says, why did he close his eyes? To show his fearfulness as a small child. So first, of course, he's enacting human pastimes, human-like pastimes. So he's acting naturally. A child is afraid. He somehow sensed that something was wrong, so he closed his eyes out of fear, as children might do. Animals do the same thing sometimes. He closed his eye to avoid seeing, so he gives a list of possible reasons, you might say. To avoid seeing such an inauspicious person, to avoid making the violence become auspicious through the touch of his auspicious glance, to avoid shame, the shame of killing a woman acting as a mother, and to avoid seeing the inauspiciousness of Putana's death. So these different reasons are given. So he sucked out the poison, and he sucked out her life air. Now we know what was the result that Putana got. Of course, what happened is she immediately started screaming. She couldn't get Krishna off her body. She started screaming. And she expanded herself into a huge form, 8 miles tall, and she went up into the air and crashed down, destroying much of the landscape around the Vrindavan area, knocking down the trees and so on. But it's said that because she offered this service to Krishna by giving her milk. This is what a nurse would do, a wet nurse. You know, we often hear there's 7 mothers. One of them is the nurse. So it doesn't mean registered nurse. It means wet nurse. You know, in traditional cultures, sometimes women would nurse other women's babies, especially like high royalty and so on. They would have nurses to nurse their children. So she was given that position eternally in Krishna's, somewhere in one of Krishna's abodes. She was given that. So there's a famous verse that's often quoted by the acharyas to show how merciful Krishna is. This is also spoken by Uddhava. Aho baki yang stanakala kutam jigansaya payarapyasadvi lebe gatim dati uchitam tatonyam kambadayalum sharanam brajema. So Uddhava, actually he's in ecstasies relating Krishna's pastime. He says, aho. Aho means, oh, how wonderful. Aho baki. Baki is the sister of Bakasura. So her brother is Bakasura. And Agasura also, this nice family. Agasura, Bakasura, and Putana. So how wonderful it is that Putana, even though she came to kill Krishna by putting poison on her breast, she was given the position eternally as like Krishna's mother. Like a nurse. So Uddhava says, of whom should I take shelter but one as merciful as Lord Krishna? So the acharyas often quote this very popular verse to be quoted. How wonderful, of course, how powerful Krishna is, but also how merciful. It shows, because sometimes the argument is, well, Krishna just favors the devotees. Why does he side with the devotees? This comes up also in the beginning of the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam. This is asked about. So it's mentioned that, well, Krishna is so merciful that even sometimes to his enemies, he gives liberation to the enemies when he kills them. And here's a specific example of that. So Nanda Maharaj was away in Mathura at this time. He was meeting with Vasudev. Dagamuni actually recommended that he go there and pay his taxes. And while he was there, he met Nanda Maharaj. This is a wonderful scene of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev meeting. They're like brothers, considered like brothers. They have great affection for each other. But Vasudeva is a Kshatriya, Nanda Maharaj is a Vaishya. So Kshatriyas are considered to be more politically astute. So Vasudeva told Nanda Maharaj that you should go back to Vrindavan very soon because I think bad things are going to be happening there. So when Nanda Maharaj, he was accompanied by some of the other cowherd men. They were returning from Mathura and they saw Putana. And they thought, oh, just like Ananda thought, oh, Vasudeva is so intelligent. He knew some bad things were going to happen. And look, it looks like something very bad happened here. So what did they do? They chopped up Putana. It must have been a pretty big task. She was so huge. And then they burned her. But it was very fragrant. The fragrance of the smoke was like a guru incense. A guru is a kind of incense. It's a tree. Apparently, it's quite difficult to get. To get a guru oil. We hear about it a lot in our books, but it has a very wonderful scent. So it says that she smelled like a guru incense when she was burned. And the fragrance lasted, you know, spread for miles around and lasted for a long time. So even though it was a dead body thing, a rotting corpse of this horrible demon, it actually smelled very wonderful. So after this pastime, we hear about Vatsa Asura. So Vatsa Asura, he was also an Asura. He was flying around. He was also flying around in the sky. And it happened that day he was passing over Vrindavan. There was a festival that was taking place. And this was the festival. You know, there seemed to be a lot of festivals in Vrindavan. They celebrate everything, just like our Vaishnava calendar, so many festivals. So in the child's life, when the child first rises up on his own, then there's a festival that's observed. And the Prabhupada says, either in the Bhagavatam or in the Krishna book, he says, then he's ready to go outside. So this is considered a milestone in the child's, in the baby's life. Now he's risen up. So there was a big festival. But especially it says this is attended by the ladies. So Mother Yashoda, she called all the ladies, but also Brahmanas. So the Brahmanas are chanting all auspicious hymns and so on. And there's a huge cart that they have in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj's house. Apparently at this time he has established a palace. They arrived there and with just carts, but now they're living in an opulent house like a palace or a mansion. It has a big courtyard and it has this huge cart in it, like a serving cart for putting serving utensils and spoons and plates and those kinds of things on it. And it said that it was as high as a house in the courtyard. It was a huge thing. So during the festival was going on and Krishna got sleepy. Mother Yashoda saw, I always starting to fall asleep. You see how children, they start nodding out. So she decided she would put him to sleep. So she took it, she set up a bed underneath the cart. And she lay down with Krishna to get him to go to sleep, as mothers often do with their child. So Krishna went to sleep. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says she took him very gently to put him to sleep so she wouldn't wake him up, wouldn't jostle him and wake him up. So she gently put him to sleep. Then when he was sound asleep, she was the hostess for this big event that's going on, so she has to go up and attend to her duties. So she was doing different things. So while she was receiving guests and so on, actually, in this festival, as was always done, there was so much charity given. Everyone who came was given jewels and cows and all kinds of auspicious items and so on. So they had so much opulence already. So she's attending to doing all these things, giving in charity. So meanwhile, this Asura is coming through the sky and he sees Krishna. And he decides he's going to kill Krishna. So he knows that Putana took a particular form and she was killed, so he says, well, I won't take any special form, even though he was a Rakshasa and could do so. I'll just enter into the cart. So the Acharyas say he didn't really have a form, he just entered into the cart. So he entered into the cart and he was going to kill Krishna somehow by possibly crushing him with the cart. So Krishna could see what was going on and it says that he just barely touched the cart with his toe, and the whole thing just collapsed. the acharyas mentioned that, well, the cart was so huge, so how could Krishna reach it? So one reason they give is that, well, because the demon had entered into it, it had kind of sunk down into the earth somewhat to make it low enough for Krishna to reach it. So he didn't use a lot of effort. In his other leelas, sometimes we see that Krishna, there's a big fight, and he exerts a lot of effort to kill some demon. Even Lord Ram, when he's fighting with Ravana, so he has to exert himself. But Krishna just nonchalantly with his toe, he just touched it, and a whole thing as big as a house collapsed down, smashed to pieces. It didn't just sort of fall over, it was destroyed. The wheels were separated from the axles, and the utensils went flying everywhere. Actually, it said that they were, when the acharya says that when he touched it, it went up into the air, and then it came crashing down, like a plane crashing or something. Just destroyed. So it made this huge sound. So everyone went running there. What happened? What happened? Because of the crash, the sound. Actually, just before this happened, there's the two reasons that Krishna smashed it. One was that Krishna woke up and he was hungry. So he was calling his mother, but she couldn't hear because of all the commotion, everything that was going on in the festival. So that was one reason. It says he got a little angry, so he kicked his foot. And the other was he just wanted to kill the demon. So everyone rushed there, and they asked, there were children there, because when the ladies came for the festival, the ladies were mixing, and they sent all their children to go around Krishna. Go see the baby. It's his festival day. Actually, this corresponded to a kind of birthday celebration. This comes up in another place also in the 10th canto, where it says, today is Krishna's birthday, so he has to come home and get ready for the festival. But it wasn't Janmashtami. It wasn't when he was a year old. It was a kind of a monthly festival, a birthday, because they would celebrate when the constellation was the same as when Krishna was born. So his birth star was Rohini. So when the moon was in the house of Rohini, there was a celebration. So this happened to be that day also. So it was a kind of a birthday celebration, but it was only a month. Krishna was old. Only his 1 month birthday was taking place. So anyway, this was part of the big celebration. So when the children came with their mother, the mother said, well, go see, it's his birthday. Go see the child, the baby, baby Krishna. So they went there to see him. And so it was only the children that were around the cart. So they're the ones who witnessed what took place. So when the adults, the ladies asked, what happened here? So at first no one said anything, though then just one of the boys spoke. This is one of the acharyas explains this. One of the boys spoke, and this boy had a stutter. So when he was telling the story, so he's telling the story, and he's telling, you know, the baby did it, the baby, with his foot, he's speaking like this, and telling the story, and the others are listening. What is he saying? So they ask the other children. So the other children, as a joke, they do the same thing. They imitate his stuttering. So they all just say, what, these kids are just nonsense. So they didn't take them seriously. They didn't believe their story. They couldn't explain it, what had happened. So Gaura Chakatasura, he was a big demon, and he was destroyed in this way, even though Krishna was just a little baby at that time. So that story is mentioned here in this verse, the Chakatasura. And then the next one that comes up is Trinavarta. And the name, of course, most of the demons' names, they often mean something. Just like Aghasura. So Agha means sinful. The sinful demon, Aghasura. So Trinavarta, Trina means grass. Just like Trinadapi Sunichena. Trina. Dante Nidaya Trinakam. We often hear the humble, humility means to put grass between your teeth. Dante Trina, you put Trina between your teeth. So Trina means grass, and Avarta or Varta means to spin around. So what makes grass spin around? That's a whirlwind or a tornado. That's the idea of the name. So that's the meaning of Trinavarta. So Trinavarta, he came there, and he decided he was going to kill this child. So the circumstances were that Mother Yashoda was holding Krishna in her lap in the courtyard. And also, of course, Krishna knew what was going to happen. And he didn't want Mother Yashoda to get hurt by this demon coming. So he made himself very heavy. Actually, there are a couple of explanations. One is that Krishna did it, and the other is that Yoga Maya. Of course, Yoga Maya is Krishna's Leela Shakti. She arranges all of these pastimes. So either way, it's essentially the same thing. Krishna became very heavy. And so Mother Yashoda, she couldn't figure out, why is it so, I can't hold him anymore. So she just put him down in the courtyard. And she felt, well, he's safe there. And then she went away momentarily. So then all of a sudden, this demon, he takes the form of a whirlwind or tornado, makes this huge roaring sound. And it was terrifying. The sound was extremely loud. And one of the acharyas says he made this loud sound because he wanted to get to the child and he didn't want the child to start crying. He didn't want anyone to hear the child crying. So he wanted to cover the child's crying, Krishna's crying, by making all this noise. So not only did he make noise, but he made the whole place completely dark, like a solar eclipse, everything gets dark. So it was completely dark, and he was making the dust and the grass and everything flying around everywhere. So it was horrible, horrible situation. And Mother Yashoda, of course, she's terrified what's going on. She just put her child out in the yard. She's terrified. So she goes out, and she can't see anything. She can't find her child. Then she realizes, he's not there where I put him down. He's gone. Imagine what she's feeling like, how horrible she's feeling. My child has disappeared, and look at this horrible storm. Oh my God, he must be dead. He must be dead. So she just faints. She faints. The people that, then others are, there's a, you know, after the sound, after the Trinavarta is killed by Krishna, then the sound dies down, everything dies down. They go there, and the other ladies, they see Yashoda. They don't know if she's dead or just passed out or what's going on. But Krishna, of course, what happens, Trinavarti comes and grabs Krishna or takes him up and with his wind. He takes him up into the sky, higher and higher. He's going to kill him there. But of course, what Krishna's holding on to him, and what Krishna does is he grabs him by the throat and he starts choking him. And he chokes and chokes and chokes out his life here. And of course, Trinavarti can't get Krishna off. So Krishna just chokes him to death, and then the demon comes crashing down into that area there, Nanda Maharaj's courtyard, and it says he fell on a stone slab. And there it's described, one of the acharyas says that the reason he fell on a stone slab, because if he had fallen on the dirt or the earth, then all the cows would come running there, they would make the dirt, the courtyard all muddy. And Krishna didn't want the courtyard to be all muddy, so he hadn't fallen a stone. So when the cows came to see what was going on, it wouldn't muddy up the courtyard. So that's Krishna, the demon came crashing down. Also, it said that he was huge, huge form. And Krishna was still there holding on. On the descent from the sky, Krishna was holding on. He was up against his chest because he was holding on to his throat. He had his hands around his throat. And then he crashed down. There was Krishna, just peacefully there on the chest of this destroyed demon. So then the ladies were able to revive Mother Yashoda and tell her, oh, no, look, your son is safe. Your son is safe. So after this, Nanda Maharaj, he becomes very concerned, and the other, they become concerned about all these demons. In fact, he's so concerned about Krishna's safety that he, what is the phrase that they choose when children are punished? Grounded, yeah. Krishna gets grounded, you might say. He's not allowed to go outside for some time. Nanda Maharaj said, just leave him inside. So in that context, we hear different pastimes of Krishna playing with the ladies. How the ladies of the... Because Krishna's there, sort of locked in the house, so the ladies come, and they come with their children, and then we hear different sweet pastimes of how Krishna is playing. They're getting him to sing and dance and giving him sweets and these kinds of things. So it was in the context of that, while Krishna was housebound for a time, that one day he opened his mouth and Mother Yashoda saw the universal form within his mouth. That was one of them. Now, of course, the other time Krishna saw the universal form was when the boys, he was just a little bit older, not much older, the boys accused him of eating dirt. So I want to read that the conversation that took place between Krishna and Yashoda as given in the Gopal Champu of Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami, such an amazing book, Gopal Champu. So he expands on some of these pastimes and he creates, you know, he makes them very dramatic and very sweet and embellishes them in certain ways. So this is how he presents this. He says, one day Krishna, offering respects to Yashoda, went to play with Balaram, Sriram, Sudama, and Vasudama. When Krishna, whose feet are marked with the chakra, ate dirt, so here Jiva Goswami is saying he did actually eat dirt. When he ate dirt, Balaram and others who were engaged by Yashoda to prevent dangerous play told Yashoda what he had done. Coming secretly, she grabbed his hand and asked, "Oh, fickle boy, did you do this bad act?" Bowing his lotus face, he spoke with despair to his mother. "Oh, mother, I didn't do anything." His mother said, "You ate some dirt." Her son said, "Who said that?" His mother said, "All your friends have said this." Her son said, "They all stole sweets from their houses and, showing them to each other shamelessly with greed, ate them. I did not want to eat stolen food. So they have tried to silence me by force and trickery. Thinking that I would tell you, they have told you a lie because of their insignificant quarrel with me." Astonished, his mother, nodding her head, said with a smile, "O king of pretenders, your older brother has spoken. What do you say?" Her son said, "They are together speaking lies." The mother said, "O liar, O son, why would Baladev speak words without proof?" The son said, "He is on their side. Another day he also ate dirt. Since I was going to inform you of this, he has been speaking lies to make my words fall." So he's calling, saying Balaram ate dirt. Holding his mouth and smiling, she said, "Do you always eat dirt?" The son said, "As I said before, they forcibly put something in my throat." His mother said, "Rascal, how can I know that?" The son said, "You can look in my mouth now." The mother said with a smile and anger, "Please show me." With fear, he quickly opened his mouth, which had traces of dirt in it. Understanding Krishna's fear, and in order to solve his problem and pacify his mother's anger and display in a different rasa, Yogamaya entered within and caused her to see the universe. Yashoda began to reflect, "I see the world outside, but I see it in his mouth. In the world there is the earth, and in it is Mathura. Within Mathura is Gokul, and within Gokul is Vraja. I am within Gokul, holding this child. How can this be? How can this happen?" So that's basically, then she says, "Oh, it's just nothing, it's some kind of illusion." And she goes back to her motherly affection. So that's Jiva Goswami's presentation of that pastime. Let's see. Now, we covered several today. I don't know if I want to go on. One thing I wanted to mention, just in general, we often think, in the definition of God, usually if you ask someone of God, you know, who is God? How do we understand, you know, God's qualities and characteristics and so on? How would you define God? So the idea, usually what first comes to people's mind is that he's powerful. His power is what they think of. In fact, in the Bible we have this idea of, you know, you have to have the fear of God. And of course, he is powerful. So in that sense, he's supreme. But you might say we have a different definition of God. We say, God is the person who has the most fun. Isn't it? He's the one who enjoys. You know, even all of Krishna's other avatars, as I was mentioning before, Krishna just nonchalantly kicked his toe to kill Shukadasura. So it's all fun for him. All this happens. In fact, one of the acharyas says that the whole Trinavarta pastime took place because Krishna wanted to go into the sky. Just like little children, they may think like that. Oh, wouldn't it be fun if I could go up into the sky? So Krishna wants, when Krishna wants something, he gets what he wants. So, because, and it's all play for him. This is all Leela. Ultimately, nobody gets hurt. Nobody suffers. The devotee's love just increases, and Krishna just enjoys. So we say that ultimately, this is the definition of God. The person who has the most fun, who enjoys. Just like a really super rich person who's maybe ahead of a big corporation. He may just have other people doing everything for him, and he's just playing golf all day, goofing off. So Krishna, he just goofs off. One time Prabhupada said, Krishna's the laziest man in Vrindavan. He doesn't work, because the point is he doesn't work. He doesn't have to get up in the morning, the alarm clock goes off, and go to work, and drive to work, and so on. No, he gets up and just plays. He goes out with his friends and plays all day. Then he also plays all night. He just plays all the time. That's God. That's actually God. So Krishna shows it over and over again. This verse today was especially mentioning different demons that Krishna was killing. But that's play. The next one that's talked about here, of course, is Aghasura. The context of that is the boys were just out playing one day. They got up early in the morning, and I remember when I was a kid, every once in a while, if you're going to do something really exciting that day, so you might get up early in the morning, you can't sleep, like Christmas Day, for example. You can't sleep, you're so excited. So for the cowherd boys, every day is like that. Not like me when the alarm clock goes off, it's like, oh no. They're excited to get up because they want to get up. They have to go run. They got to go and see Krishna. So on one of these typical days, they're going out with the boy. Krishna's going out with the boys into the pasturing grounds. And just to play, they're herding the cows, but really they're just playing all day. Or the calves. And I think at this age they were still herding the calves. So they're going out and... this demon Aghasura, he's just an envious demon, and he doesn't like to see that they're having so much fun. And then especially, so he thinks, I'm just going to kill them all. And especially, apparently he knows who Krishna is. I'm going to kill this Krishna. He said, then, evil mentality, then all the bridge bosses will die too. Because I'll kill Krishna, I'll kill all these children, then everybody in the whole village will die, and won't that be nice? That will be my great pleasure. So he decides to. He was also, and of course, he also wants to get revenge because Krishna killed his beloved brother and sister, Putana and Bakasura. Oh, I didn't mention, Bakasura actually comes first. Actually, Bakasura, Krishna killed Vatsasura and Bakasura first when they moved to Vrindavan. So he killed Bakasura and Putana. So Aghasura says, I'm going to kill them. So you all know the basic story. He makes himself like a big python, huge, 8 miles long, which seems to be a favorite length. I guess it's because it's one yojana. So he makes himself huge. And the boys... They're not quite sure what to make of it. Is this a mountain? Is this a road down here? Or is this some big demon trying to swallow us? Man, it kind of looks like it's just some big demon, and this is his tongue, and his breath is horrible, and so on. But they say, well, whatever, we don't care. We'll just go inside, check it out, and Krishna will protect us. If it's a demon, Krishna will kill him just like he kills everybody else. So they went inside. And Aghasura, they went all the way actually into his stomach. It says, there's a word there, I forget what the Sanskrit word is, but He didn't digest them. They went inside because, of course, Krishna was protecting them. But they were unconscious, maybe from the fumes inside him. So at first, you know, Krishna was at that time, he was standing a little bit at a distance. So he saw it. At first he was amazed. Oh, what's going on? All my boys have gone inside here. And then he was thinking, oh, my Yoga Maya, she's so powerful, she's so amazing, she creates these great illusions. And then he had to decide, well, how, I have to rescue the cowherd boy. That was his thought. His thought wasn't, I have to kill this demon. His thought was, I have to rescue my friends. You're going to kill my friends. But how am I going to rescue them without killing him? And if I kill him, then maybe they will be harmed too. So he was in a bit of a conundrum, how he's going to solve this problem. So in any case, he decides to just go inside. And what does he do? One of the acharyas says, at first he became like a stick, and he forced Agasura's mouth open. He couldn't shut his mouth because Krishna became like kind of like a stick there stuck in his mouth. Because if he shut his mouth, then maybe the cowherd boys would be harmed in that, because his mouth was still open when Krishna went in. So in any case, then he expanded himself more and more, and he just blew his brains out, basically. He killed him by choking him and smothering him. And then Krishna, he rescued the boys, and all the boys came out. And there was the demigods. It says that the demigods were afraid. It says that they were hiding behind the clouds. This comes up in other places also. Kind of humorous, you think. Demigods, why would they have to hide behind clouds? They can make themselves invisible. In any case, it says they were hiding behind the clouds. But then when they saw that this demon was killed, there was this big festival going on. And at first, Krishna was standing, you know, outside. Everyone was outside. And then Agasura, he blasted through the Brahmarandra of the snake, the hole at the top of the snake's head, and he lit up the whole place. It was like the Brahma Jyoti practice, this big, bright light in the sky, so bright. And then that light merged into the form of Krishna. So Lord Brahma was actually among those who was witnessing all of this. So Lord Brahma, this is what inspired Lord Brahma to steal the cowherd boys and the calves of Krishna. He said, wow, this is quite amazing what he did. Let me see how powerful this Krishna is. So that this was the sign. Because right after this happened, and Krishna said, well, come on, boys, we're done with this demon. Let's go have a picnic. So they went to the bank of the Yamuna, and that's when they were sitting down to have their picnic. And then the calves disappeared, and Krishna told the boys, you don't have to worry, I'll just stay here, finish your lunch, and I'll go find your calves. So that's when Krishna left, and then of course Lord Brahma stole the boys. Of course he didn't actually steal the boys. He stole some kind of illusory boys, because Lord Brahma couldn't take the boys without Krishna's consent. Now, there's a lot of trickery going on in this whole pastime. Now after the whole episode with Agasura, with Lord Brahma, the Brahma Vimohan Leela, then the cowherd boys, because the question arises that the boys talked about the killing of Agasura, but a year later. So Parikshit Maharaj asks, why did it take him a year to talk about this just happened on that day? So the reason it took a year was because they were gone for a year, but they didn't know it. When they got home, they talked about it as if it just happened that day, because they didn't know that they were gone for a whole year, or asleep in a cave. Throughout this whole pastime of Krishna's life, because what happened, of course, Krishna replaced all the boys with himself, and everyone thought that these boys, that they were their sons, that the parents thought these were their sons, but they were actually Krishna. So a whole year went by. So when the whole Brahma Vimohan Leela after at the end, so the boys, when they might say woke up, then he said, oh Krishna, you've only been gone for half a moment. We haven't even taken a bite of the food. You told us to finish our lunch, but we haven't even taken a bite yet. We haven't taken a morsel of food. You've only been gone for a moment. So a whole year had passed, of course. So then when they went home, they said, hey, Mom, we should see the amazing thing. Of course, that's what they would do every day. They would tell their parents and the others, well, amazing thing Krishna did that day. So they told about Agasura, even though Agasura had been killed a year before. So these are, of course, the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. There are those who will say it's all mythology, but Prabhupada would always make the argument, no, it is not. The greatest personalities, great learned persons, well, Vyasadeva himself was writing about these things, Shukadeva and Parikshit were discussing these things, our great Vaishnava Acharyas, like Sanatan Goswami has written a commentary in the 10th canto, and Jiva Goswami, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So these are not ordinary persons. And they're taking great pains to write about these things, and to really, really think about them, deeply think about them, and try to, on one level, understand them, and enter into them, meditate on them. There's a kind of meditation, Ashtakalya Leela, where devotees, advanced devotees, meditate on what Krishna is doing in eight periods of the day. And there are books written about all of these. So all of these pastimes, they're meditated upon by the greatest personalities. So these are not just some made-up stories, fairy tales. They're the pastime, they're the leela of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're getting some summary of them here, and today we heard about a few of them. All right. Yes, Raghatmika Prabhu.
Do any of the acharyas mention what the response of the residents of Vrindavan were when their own boys, the original boys and calves, kind of returned? And because they were in such ecstasy,
yeah,
having that exchange with Krishna.
I haven't read about that specifically. I suspect that they don't discuss it. You know, there are a lot of things that go on in Krishna's Leela where you would say, well, wouldn't they do this, or why wouldn't that? Like, I was thinking recently about the Kaliya pastime. So it couldn't have been too far away from the village of Vrindavan where this lake was. But this lake was so poisonous, even if a bird would fly over it, and they would die. And it says that Kali had been there for a very, very long time. So you would think, well, obviously, everybody must have known about it. The children would have been warned, don't go near this place. But it seems like nobody knew anything about it. At least that's the way the pastime unfolds. So you can't always apply logic to these things. It's Krishna's pastimes. To me, he makes things happen the way he wants them to happen. So I would suspect that, you know, the acharyas might say the mothers or the parents of the children, when they had Krishna as their son, that was some special mercy. And then when things came back to normal, you might say, they just didn't really remember. They just went on with their lives as if it never happened, kind of thing. That might be one possible explanation. So Krishna just does everything according to for his own enjoyment. And of course for his friends' enjoyment. When Krishna enjoys, they enjoy. Of course we hear Krishna says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the gopis enjoy more than I do, even. That's why he wanted to become Radharani. She relishes even to a greater extent than I do. So it's all for that. It's all for Krishna's fun, for Krishna's play. It's all play. It's all leela. There's no effort. And it all works out. Krishna can even lose himself because he has someone, not just one person, but at least several devotees. Their task is to set up the stage, you might say, to set it up. Brinda Devi and Purnamasi, Yogamaya, Leela Shakti, they set everything up, and Krishna, in a sense, just loses himself. He forgets. He forgets who he is. And the Damodar Leela, the acharyas, they comment like that. That Krishna was actually afraid of his mother. He wasn't just pretending. He was actually afraid because he loses himself in the role. Sometimes we hear about actors. The actor lost himself in the role. He became that person. You know. He was so good at acting that it was as if he became that person. So Krishna becomes that child. He actually does. He's not just faking it. But this is, you know, in some ways you say, well, it's inconceivable. How can God forget he's God? Well, if he wants to, he can. He can do anything. That's why it says that Krishna has achintya shaktis. His energies can do the impossible. They can accomplish the impossible because Krishna empowers them to do so. Krishna empowers Yogamaya to put him in illusion, you can say. Because he wants to enjoy. This is again getting back to this idea of God. What do we want? Oh, we want to be happy. So, obviously God has that desire more than anybody else. And because he's up the kama, everything he desires becomes fulfilled. Just simply by his will becomes fulfilled. There's no obstacles to him. We want something, it's so many obstacles. But for Krishna, he just wills it, and then all his lieutenants take care of everything. So he enters into these leelas fully. He fully gets into the role, absorbs himself in it, and enjoys amazingly when he does it, beyond our conception. Trivikram Prabhu.
Thank you for this very nice class. Is there any difficult situation that Krishna couldn't have? I mean, can you recall any situation or scene that he couldn't handle?
I can't hear what you're saying. Sorry, my hearing's not kind of going, I guess.
Is there any situation, any difficult situation where Krishna couldn't handle it?
Krishna couldn't handle it? Oh, some difficult situation that Krishna couldn't handle. Well, if there was momentarily, then he handled it ultimately. That's just like that old, you know, it's a joke. People say, if God can do anything, can he make a rock so big he can't lift it? People try to trick you like that. So the answer is yes, he can do that. He can make a rock so big he can't lift it, and then he'll lift it. So, same kind of thing. Krishna may come up with a situation where it seems impossible, but he'll resolve it. He'll take care of it somehow or other. Just like, you know, in the Vamana Leela, Vamana Dev, when Lord Vishnu appears to Aditi, she wants the heavenly kingdom back for her sons, the demigods. And because Balamaharaj and the demons have the heavenly planets. So he doesn't reveal to her what he's going to do exactly. Vishnu doesn't. He realized, well, this is a problem. He says, your sons can't just attack the demons right now because the time is not right. We often hear this. The time is not right. It's not in their favor. But Krishna more or less implies, but I'll figure out something so that we'll get the heavenly planets back. So what does he do? He does it by trickery. He does it because it's a difficult problem. We can't attack them because somehow they're invincible right now by the blessings of the Brahmanas. So how will we defeat them? Well, what does he do? He gets Bali Maharaj to give it to them, that's what he does, ultimately. There's no fight involved. He just gives Bali Maharaj by trickery. He gets Bali Maharaj to give them back the heavenly planets by giving it to him. Because Vamanadeva is also an Aditya. He's also one of the sons of Aditi. He's also, in a sense, a demigod. So Bali Maharaj gives it back to him. So there was a difficult problem. We can't fight the demons. How are we going to defeat them? How are we going to get heaven back? So Krishna comes up with a trick. He resolves the problem with that trick. Just getting Bali Maharaj to give it to them back. Give it back to them. Yes, Karnapur Prabhu.
Yeah, I was trying to fathom the size of Putana. So uh-huh. I did a little calculation, and just her finger, the diameter of her finger is like from the left side of the temple here to the far side of the pavilion. That's the diameter of her finger. And the length of it is like from 235 out to Akuti's place. That's just one of her fingers.
Well, she was 8 miles long, right?
Yes.
So that's like from here to the High Springs, pretty much, something like that. So pretty noticeable, I guess. A big bonfire when they cut her up.
And what kind of tools they use to cut her up.
Yeah. Sometimes they say, you know, the space shuttle, they say they can see certain things on the Earth, and they say, wow, they can see the pyramids, I think, or something. So they could probably see Putana burning from up there. It has a big bonfire. So Krishna does everything in a big way. All right, I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.